Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week. It was on Palm Sunday, of course, that Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, a well-known symbol of a king who comes in peace, and the crowds were excited and happy that he was there. That makes the events that we heard in our gospel reading today so much of a contrast, so incredible as to be almost unbelievable. Jesus' crucifixion took place just 5 days after he passed through the city gates to cries of Hosanna. We've been looking closely over these past 6 weeks at a certain cast of characters, and if you've been coming, you may now be able to name them by heart. It starts with the rulers, members of the Sanhedrin. Their reaction at the cross is astounding. After Jesus spoke such beautiful words of grace and mercy, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," we read that the rulers scoffed. "Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen." The Greek carries this meaning. They kept on continually scoffing. Without knowing it, they say true things about Jesus. Hanging on the cross is God's Messiah, his chosen one. But he's not there to save himself, but to save them, if they would have it. But the rulers don't see it. They can't. All they can do is scoff and ridicule. And then there are the soldiers. Troops directly under Roman control. They're the actual executioners. That day they were charged with killing Jesus and two criminals. The charge Pilate settled on to mock the Jewish rulers is also true. Written on a piece of wood posted above Jesus' head is "King of the Jews." And in their own form of blindness, the soldiers mock Jesus. Don't kings look out for themselves? If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And this morning, we're introduced to two other characters. They come on the scene. One of the dying criminals actually finds it within himself to curse Jesus, to rail at him. And once he starts, he keeps on doing it. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." We see evil spreading like an infection. But then there's another voice. He speaks to his fellow criminal, and then he speaks to Jesus. He's the only one who speaks not out of blindness, ignorance, hatred, or mockery. This believing voice speaks honesty and truth and hope. And this is the voice we want to focus on today. The voice of a believing criminal. He speaks words of faith and Jesus who hasn't... He speaks words of faith and Jesus who hasn't answered any of the others answers him. He speaks to this man and promises him a gift. This believer, for that's what we have to call him, this believer speaks first to the other criminal. We don't know what they're charged with, if they'd worked together, or if they were just the ones who were lined up to die that day. But his voice of faith is, in the first place, astonishingly honest. "Don't you fear God?" He knows what's happening. God's justice is at work, and he confesses the truth. "Look, you and I are dying because we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing wrong." That statement actually brings up the question, how does this man know Jesus? He's right, of course, when he says this, and he's been hearing the evil voices around him saying other things that are actually true, if you're the Christ, if you're the king, and Jesus is the Christ and the king, in fact, the king of kings, but you would think that those words would have made him less likely to believe in Jesus because Jesus sure isn't acting like the Christ or the King that he likely heard about growing up as a Jew. But the believing criminal's next words demonstrate the depth of his faith. Now, this isn't the first time in Luke that God works powerful faith in what seems to be an unlikely believer. There was a centurion back in chapter 4 whose beloved servant was dying. And the elders of the synagogue pleaded with Jesus to help the man because he had been good to them. But before Jesus gets to the man's house, the centurion sent word saying, "Don't come. Don't come because I'm not worthy for you to enter my home. But I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. So say the word, and let my servant be healed." And Jesus, the Son of God, is shocked. He'd never seen faith like this in any of the sons of Abraham, but only from this Gentile. Luke tells us about other believers like this, a sinful woman who knows Jesus is filled with mercy, so she anoints his feet and wipes them with her hair. There was a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years who believed all she had to do was touch Jesus' clothes. And there's a short, rich tax collector whom everyone hates. But when Jesus comes to his house, he's transformed. And Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And now here's a criminal who knows who Jesus is too. And when he speaks, he confesses the truth and speaks of hope. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This condemned man knows the truth, knows that Jesus is the King, despite the evil of those who are trying to destroy him. And this is what gives him hope. You see, if Jesus is that King, this will not be the end of Jesus. If he is God's true King, no evil can stop God's plan through his chosen one. If Jesus is the King, then the day will come, the day must come, when evil is undone, injustice overthrown, and the world put right. While he himself is dying, the believing criminal looks to that day. "I deserve what I'm getting. That's the truth. But Jesus is much greater than that. You can save me." And that's the hope. Somehow the believing criminal has come to know this. Somehow God has revealed to him there at the end of his life what God did for that criminal, he did for us to read and to know today. "Jesus, remember me on that day. I don't know when, I don't know how, but remember me on that day," and Jesus will. We know what we deserve, and we know him who is the truth. So we hold on to see the day when we see that he is also the life. Jesus answers this criminal and gives him a gift. Jesus had a gift for Zacchaeus. "Today, salvation has come to this house." Just like at Christmas in Bethlehem for the shepherds, "Today there's one who has been born for you in the city of David, a Savior." And now for a dying criminal, who trusted that the true King would remember him on that great day, Jesus already has a gift for him. "Today, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise is a place of rest and safety in the presence of the living God. When death comes to that believing criminal, his body and soul are separated for a time. That's what death does to us. But paradise, rest and safety and peace, is given to this criminal, this criminal who believes, even as he continues to wait for that day when death will be no more, the day when resurrection comes. Death will bring a time of waiting and a time of resting in paradise. But Jesus gives a gift already. Today you will be with me in paradise. I think if that criminal were here this morning, I think he'd tell us to listen to the voice of faith, not unbelief, when evil is all around you. Even when your own evil wants to rise up and deafen you. There are lots of mockers and scoffers today, and their voices can seem so loud. There's plenty of evil in our world today, and it can feel like the noise is going to crush us. But we know how our salvation was worked by a loving Father. The evil came against his Son, and it crushed him. And on that Sabbath, he rested because his work was done. We still wait. We wait with the church on earth and with the church at rest. We wait for Jesus to come into his kingdom with glory. So until then, take a lesson from the criminal. You too, speak with honesty, truth, and hope. Speak honestly to others. We're getting what we deserve. We would deserve nothing but God's wrath and death if we were left to our own goodness and our own strength. If God left us alone with ourselves, we would deserve and receive the same. And speak the truth. The truth about Jesus, the true King. On that afternoon long ago, he was the king who gave up his royal privilege and power. He emptied himself, as Paul said, became obedient to God's plan to save the world. But he was still the king. And that's why the dark day couldn't last. That's why there was a today that no one expected, the today of Easter. And hold on to hope. Our hope is built on and based on the king. And our king has a great memory. No one who calls on him will be put to shame. It's Lent again. And that means the final Easter hasn't dawned yet. There's evil all around us. There's evil within us. But we are filled with the hope that comes from the king who does not listen to the lies and the clamor of evil. We too can and should pray, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We can pray that, knowing that our King will come and that he remembers us. There's a beautiful Advent hymn that declares, the King shall come when morning dawns and light, and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds Eastern's hills and life to joy awakes. You are his, and he remembers you. And if you die before Jesus comes again in his kingdom, then those words that Jesus spoke to that criminal become his words to you as well. On that today, you will be with him in paradise, resting in peace and joy with Jesus. These two hymn stanzas may be familiar to you, and I think they're a perfect way to close this morning. I'm going to break with tradition because we're going to say that A word today. I'd ask us to just stand together and sing the last two verses for all the saints. Please stand. may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.